Hey, everybody. Good evening. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know what to say about the Rod Blagojevich situation. I know he's been under investigation for months. What a thug. Here's another one. Just like Clinton, Blagojevich doesn't give a tinker's damn who he infects with his corruption. And, oh, I know he hasn't had a trial yet. Give me a break. This is an Illinois governor. A trial? Excuse me. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Oh, if you want to know what I really think about it, go to MikeMalloy.com, click on the little blog, the mini blog there, and you'll pretty much get my take on the whole thing. Yeah, we're going to be focusing a little bit on it tonight. But the major thing I'm pissed off about tonight, right? You know what? These nights I'm going to open up the program and say, hi, everybody. Everything's really wonderful. Hello. How are you? No? Kathy's out there shaking her head, laughing hysterically, dribbling coffee, Super Beans coffee down the front of her bib. Here's what really pisses me off tonight. After dinner, I was watching Brian Williams on the NBC Nightly News. And all of a sudden, this goofy-looking bastard who is obviously a Jay Leno impersonator shows up. I mean, this guy's hair is all messed up, and he's got an open shirt collar, and he's slurring his words, and he just looks like he looks like a drunk. And for 4 minutes, 4 minutes out of 22, you know, the planet is bursting. There is stuff going on all over the place, and what does NBC do? Imposes a goddamn 4-minute promo for their new Jay Leno show starting when, I don't care, in the middle of the NBC Nightly News. Whoredom! No offense to sex workers. That's where we live. We live in a nation of media whores, liars, political hacks, thugs, bums, rats, piss ants, and I'm about tired of it. I'm jumping on the next comet that comes by. How about you guys, huh? Unbelievable stuff. I'm sitting there watching this. What? What? I mean, it doesn't even belong in a newscast, but okay. 20 seconds. Hi, Jay. You're going to move to 10 o'clock from 11:30. Oh, my Christ, that's really earth-shaking news. Goodbye, Jay. But no. 4 minutes. Do you know what a long-form story is on NBC Nightly News? 2 minutes, 42 seconds. I don't have anything against Jay Leno. I mean, Jay Leno is just an overpaid, not very funny guy whose network pays a lot of writers a lot of big money to make Jay look like he's saying funny stuff, which he's not. And then tonight, doing some show prep, I glance up the Oberman program, which I usually have on in the background. Jesus Christ, there he is again! Now, on Oberman's show, it's a little bit different, I guess. That's, you know, kind of a magazine format or what have you. It doesn't bill itself as the nightly news. But there he sits again, Jay Leno, looking even worse. My God, I had no idea makeup did that for you. Okay. Rod Blagojevich. I can't. You know, George Ryan, we mentioned this last night, didn't we, Kathy? I said, well, you know, watch, within the next day or two, they're going to pop old Rod because he came out and made all kinds of nasty-ass statements about Bank America. It's just like Elliot Spitzer. When Spitzer was building new body orifices in the companies in the financial district of New York who were obviously screwing people, and the next day, bingo! Spitzer gets tied into. Of course he did it. Of course Spitzer did it. Of course. But isn't the timing great? Of course Rod Blagojevich did what he's accused of. You're damn right he did. Fair trial, my ass. He had his fair trial. There it is. It's on the tapes. But isn't the timing interesting, huh? Bank America yesterday, indicted and arrested today. Wow, goddamn, man, that's pretty quick. That's what a couple of you have suggested to me, that the timing in this is just, how you say, odd. Joe the plumber has bailed on McCain. Did you hear about this? Joe Wurzelbacher lashed out at John McCain today. And were it not for McCain, there would be no Wurzelbacher, right? Wurzelbacher is nothing. He's a cipher. No, he's not Joe Working Man. He's Joe Jackass. He's Joe Stupid Freak. Shut up. Sit down. Go back to school. Pick up in the seventh grade where you left off, Joe. Honest to God, you're not a plumber. You're Wurzelbacher. Yo, Wurzelbacher, come here, pick up this load of bricks. Wurzelbacher told neo-Nazi thug Glenn Dreck, that he, Wurzelbacher, felt dirty after, quote, being on the campaign trail and seeing some of the things that take place, end quote. Wurzelbacher felt dirty. Son of a bitch. Recalling a conversation he had with McCain about the $700 billion financial industry bailout in September, Wurzelbacher said, when I was on the bus with him, I asked him a lot of questions about the bailout because most Americans did not want that to happen. I asked him some pretty direct questions because, you know, I'm pretty smart, son of a bitch, don't you think, Glenn? Yeah, well, some of the answers you guys are going to receive, they appalled me. Absolutely. I was angry. In fact, I wanted to get off the bus after I talked to him. Why didn't you, Joe? You phony little bastard. If he was appalled, why didn't he get off? Well, honestly, this is what he said, Wurzelbacher. Honestly, because the thought of Barack Obama's president scares me even more. You know what this piece of Toledo dreck ought to do? Joe Wurzelbacher, why don't you get on the nearest boat and I don't know, go someplace. See if I say a country, the people who are of that nationality or heritage will call me up and say, well, what do you got against blank? But why don't you get on a bus or a boat or a submarine, Wurzelbacher, and just leave? Isn't that what you right-wingers always say? Love it or leave it, goddammit. Why don't you just leave? You don't like Obama. You don't like McCain. You can't get a job. You're a liar. You're no more of a plumber than I'm a steeplechase. People like Wurzelbacher just, and why in the hell? Well, don't even ask that question. Why does Glenn Beck have him on? Because Glenn Beck is a dumbass, and this is the best he can do on his program, I guess. Oh, yeah. Wurzelbacher had nothing but praise for Sarah Palin. He said, quote, Sarah Palin is absolutely the real deal. Come on, Joe, you just want to get a little of Sarah. You know as well. You better be careful. Her husband will harpoon your ass quicker than you can say whale blubber. Pew, you're dead. Don't make a move on Sarah, Joe. Nah. Keep it zipped up. Sarah Palin is the real deal. This is crazy, isn't it? Isn't every... You see what I mean? You see what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying here? I do fine every day just by staying inside my own little... what do you call this, Kathy? My own little comfort zone, my sphere of influence. You know, whether... what? Well, you're shaking your head.
I'm going to call it your quantum of solace.
My quantum of solace? You know, Sunday, I got back from San Francisco on Saturday. Sunday, I'm out with the guy that does a lot of work around here named Sam, and we're putting in a split rail fence. And it was just great. You know, Kathy's looking out the window because what were you doing? You were making something. What were you doing?
Oh, I was rolling up cocktail meatballs.
Oh, that's right. Cocktail meatballs. And she's looking out the kitchen window, and I keep walking by with these 11-foot-long split rail rails on my shoulder, and Kathy kept thinking, she said, told me later when I was, you know, laying on the floor this morning, screaming in agony, she said, well, I saw you carrying those things, and I thought, why is he doing that? Sam is 40 years younger than you. Let him do it. But as long as I stay in that world, you see, I'm okay. But then, Rod Blagojevich, oh my God!
Just pull your hat down the way I do, and buy your pants just a little longer. Next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. That's right.
Proof that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Before we get to Blagojevich, because this guy was elected on a reform campaign ticket because the Republican right before him, George Ryan, had really gotten in, Ryan's in prison right now. He really gotten involved in some nefarious deals. And along comes Blagojevich and, big reform, AA. And this guy turns out to be even worse than Ryan. You know what makes Blagojevich worse? Because he's one of these arrogant airheads like Clinton, like all these people who walk around. Who was the guy that ran in the Democratic primary back in Gary Hart, who had a girlfriend and while he was married and challenged the press to spy on him, and they did, and they caught him. You know, this is what makes Blagojevich worse than Ryan. At least Ryan was just your old school Republican thief. You know, no flash, no smash. Just, give me the money. Here, I'll make sure you get driver's licenses. I'll look the other way. Contribute to my campaign. You know, just a typical Republican thief. Blagojevich is a scum-sucking bastard. The arrogance, the demands, his casual use of the F word. Now, so do I, but certainly not on the radio. But I think every other word at the San Francisco gig was the F word, right? Those of you who were there Friday night were probably sitting and go, oh my God, doesn't he know how to speak English? All he says is F this and F that. But Blagojevich, the arrogance of this little rat bastard, I mean, it's astonishing. Plus, the ripple effect now, you see, because he was governor and because Obama was a senator from there, and there's a transition team, and somebody has to take Obama's place. Now somebody's going to have to take Blagojevich's place. all that. So there's got to be conversations back and forth between Obama's transition team and this schmuck. So what does that do, huh? That gives pigs like Limbaugh and rabid little mice like Sean Hannity all sorts of things. Well, now we got to get all the questions answered. Bring them in here. Put them under oath. What did he know? What did he say? What did he know? Right? Just like Clinton. Just like Bill Clinton. Clinton knew that every right-winger in the country was gunning for his ass. So what does he do? Has his little afternoon tete-a-tete with Monica. Well, they'll never catch me. I'm President of the United States. Hey, sweetheart, come on in here. Bring that pizza. God! Sometimes I wish I were a Republican because then I would know. You know, people like Mitch McConnell and Tom DeLay and all these people, they're just standard crooks. That's all. They're just cheesy little bastards who steal what they can, take free trips, get under the table, pass legislation that benefits their friends. They're just standard little scummy crooks. There's nothing arrogant about them except in their little tiny world. I'm Mitch McConnell. I'm just gay as hell, but I'm married to Elaine Chao. She's my beard. Wait till they catch me sometime. You'll never catch me. I go out there in the tobacco barn. It's just your standard deviation with these people. They steal and they lie. That's it. But you get a Democrat? Oh, my God. They steal. They lie. They involve themselves in murderous treachery to their friends. They're associates, they're comrades, people they work with, people that depend on them just to keep their noses clean. That's all. Just please don't do anything really bad, all right? Because I know you, and then I'll get subpoenaed, and then everything we've ever said is going to come out. Please! And what do the Democrats do? They don't give a tinker's damn. That's why I hate Blagojevich and people like him. You dumb bastard. Couldn't you think of anyone other than yourself? You want to run your little graft and corruption? Do it some other way. Don't try to sell a United States senator's seat when the goddamn senator's going to be president! What kind of madness is that? It's just unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you what, Blagojevich. Ryan, old Republican Governor George Ryan, with just your kind of overweight, middle-aged, white-haired, stumble-ass governor. You, sweetheart, you're cute. You are real cute with that black leather jacket and that little old turtleneck thing you had on. You going to wear that in prison? Huh? You going to take that to prison? You going to walk in there and say, hi, boys? Suggestion, Rod, especially with a name like Rod. Don't. Work or don't. Can you work at all? Got to show me another song. There's all the rage downtown.
Your host for a Pence, Friends future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. In about an hour, I'm expecting a phone call from Bob Alexander at superbeans.com with an announcement. Remember the project he had about getting a book, one of Vince Bugliosi's books, in the hands of all 2,500 or whatever the number was. I think it's 2,500 county prosecutors. He's calling in. You'll actually hear Bob's voice. Yesterday, Rod, the governor, did a noble thing and declared a boycott against Bank of America for, on the one hand, accepting taxpayer bailout money. On the other hand, refusing to extend credit, which was the reason we gave you sons of bitches the money. Refusing to extend credit to Republic Windows and Doors so the company can, you know, handle its payroll. And then today, Rod was arrested on federal corruption charges for trying to sell Barack Obama. Jesus Christ. Sell Barack Obama's Senate seat. Oh, that is so Illinois. Seemingly oblivious to the investigation that was swirling around him for the past 5 or 6 months. This was Blagojevich's response yesterday to a reporter's question about that investigation. The reporter asked about the cloud of suspicion hanging over his governorship.
I don't believe there's any cloud that hangs over me.
Governor. Well, getting back Governor, to that, can we...
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. True question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously. And those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and Watergate.
Oh,
the humanity. It smells like Nixon Watergate. No, Rod. It smells like Blagojevich Gate, you phony, arrogant little rat bastard.
Nice hair, though. Jesus.
Oh, my God. He's going to sell Barack Obama. I mean, you know, that is so close to a reminiscent of a slave market down in Savannah. Right? I mean, here is the black guy is going to be president, and this rat bastard is going to sell his Senate seat.
You know, he should have given me a call, you know, because...
Yeah, you could do it, yeah.
I could have shown him how to do it on eBay, and there wouldn't have been a wiretap, you know?
Yeah. It's just too much. It's just too much. And doesn't he have a couple of kids, a couple of young kids? Two little girls? Is that, yeah? Oh, my God. See, that's the thing. At least Ryan's kids, the last Illinois governor to go to prison, and Rod will go to prison. The last governor to go to prison in Illinois, his kids were all grown. They had grandkids, you know. Jesus, God. What does that, huh? Now, watch the slobbering, masturbatory insanity that the right-wing talk show hosts across the fruited plain will slide ever so willingly into over the next several weeks. Trying to show you the connection. Look at the connection. This is the way it's going to be. It's going to be this way every week with Barack Obama. Every week. It's probably already started, right? Well, just, get a big bag of popcorn. I'm starting to feel more and more like you and I are so out of this. I mean, we are so, you know, we did our duty. Boy Scout, do your duty. Get on your knees and kiss my booty. We did our duty, right? We got out. We organized. We voted. We got Barack Obama elected. Okay. I don't know. It's just getting to that point where it's starting to become clear to me that, and I know this is, you've had this thought for 30 years. Well, so have I. But it's starting to become even more clear that there doesn't seem to be a whole hell of a lot we can do anymore. I mean, I don't want to come off all negative here. You know, I try to be like Tom Hartman. I just, you know, try to be up tempo. I try not to get all negative and depressed like Randy. I try to stay somewhere, but it's really and truly, aren't you feeling that way? I mean, come on, you and I have been together now for a long time, haven't we? How long have we been together? 3, 4, 5, 6 years? 2 years? Some of you were just, you know, newly dating. But a lot of us have been together for like a long time, right? We've been talking about this for how long? 5, 6 years. About this thing like, oh, no. Well, let's just try it one more time. No, don't try it again. Yeah, let's try it one more time. Come on, this time. Everything's going to be okay. Just vote Democrat all the way across the board. Come on. We got to do it. Democrat, good. Republican, bad. And, it's just one bump in the road after another. Now, I am not suggesting that by any stretch of the vocabulary that there is any kind of negative impact here that we should be thinking about where it concerns Barack Obama. But what destroys me is that his fellow Democrats, our fellow Democrats, are so venal. Just so down to the bone corrupt to sell his Senate seat. My God, Fitzgerald's right. I've never heard of anything like that. Never. And this is not just some
run-of-the-mill senator. This is the next president of the United States. Oh, nobody will know about it. My God, I can sell a Barack Obama Senate seat and nobody will know about it. Hi, I'm a dumb son of a bitch. I don't know how I got to be governor, but you know what? I am so stupid. I'm going to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat and go ahead, tape me. I don't care. Hell.
Where does that kind of monumental, stupefying ignorance and hubris come from? Where does that come from? Oh, my God, just give me plain old child-molesting, drug-using, corrupt Republicans. That's easier to deal with. At least you know.
Oh, well, he tried to have sex with a 14-year-old page. Oh, okay, well, that'll have to register for the rest of his life. Okay, that's easy to understand. Oh, he went to Dominican Republic and molested little brown children and came back with a Viagra in his luggage. Okay, well, yeah, that's easy enough to remember. Oh, he got addicted to OxyContin. Oh, he tried to proposition somebody in an airport bathroom. Oh, well, he got caught stealing this and lying about that, and that's easy. And it's expected. They're Republicans.
But don't you sometimes expect that a Democrat is going to live up to your fantasy? I always do. I always do. And every single time, almost, there are a couple exceptions. Al Gore hasn't yet been caught with, his zipper down or his brain open somewhere, you know, like... But I keep thinking, well, you know, it's Democrat, Mike. It's you know, I love my country, but I want to improve it. I believe in organized labor. I love the middle class. I like going for walks on the beach and puppy dogs and starry nights and then we get another instance like this. Am I making too big of a deal about this? I guess I am. I guess I'm making way too big of a deal about it. I should just forget about it. It's just like yawn, business as usual, move on. There's nothing happening here. Just the same old, same old. And I guess that's true. All right, let's do the break coming up, and then we'll get back to... Well, I do have a couple emails here about people who had a couple things to say about Blagojevich, so I'll drop them in. Nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Who in the hell wrote that line? Did that pop right out of his head, Kathy, at that press conference? Hey, feel free to tape me. There's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. What are you talking about, a cloud?
That was yesterday, dumbass. Guess what happened at 5 o'clock this morning?
I got you for a candy bar and a pack of cigarettes. At first you were resistant, but now you are my friend. I knew that I would get you in the end.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him once.
10 before the hour. You know, and the terrible thing about George Ryan just being your typical Republican middle-aged thug politician, you know, it was Ryan who, after the evidence was presented to him about the situation with the death penalty in Illinois, commuted everybody's sentence. Everybody. Blanket commutation of, he didn't abolish the death penalty because he left it up to the Illinois legislature, but of the people on death row,
after the evidence was presented to him by defense attorneys and ACLU and Northwestern University and how many people, innocent people, almost had been executed, he came to realize what anyone who's against the death penalty is has been aware of. You can never be 100% sure that you're executing someone who is not innocent. So Ryan commuted all, you know, everybody's death sentence, and then, of course, wound up in prison. Otto Kerner, the guy who was the primary author to the Kerner Commission that took a look at race relations in this country, and not just race relations, but also the economic disparities in this country, right? That was the Kerner Commission report. How long after that came out did he go to prison? Coincidence? Sure. Now Blagojevich. You know, he tells Bank of America on Monday, yada, yada, yada. And on Tuesday, it's, here come the police. But I just can't help but believe that John Gotti, the Teflon Don, that he was a Democrat. Because he's got the same attitude as Democratic politicians like Clinton, like Blagojevich. I'm not saying Clinton did anything illegal. I'm saying Clinton was just an absolute dumbass, just daring people like Gary Hart. Just, you know, with that attitude of, catch me if you can. What are you, crazy? Catch me if you can in these times? You can't burp. You can't fart without somebody putting it on YouTube. And Blagojevich thought he was going to sell the Senate seat of the president-elect and get away with it? But it's that gaudy attitude that Democratic politicians some of them seem to develop. I am Teflon. I'm covered with Teflon. Nothing will stick to me. Oh, God. John in New York City, who is formerly from Chicago, writes, Mike, Governor Blagojevich indicted on corruption charges? What a coincidence. Alabama Governor Don Siegelman also was indicted on corruption charges. The media will, of course, fail to see the correlation, especially now when the Illinois governor is due to appoint Obama's replacement. What a drag. The media will turn Blagojevich into the next OJ, although I believe he'll eventually be cleared years from now. John, I'm afraid you and I... do not agree on that one, pal. No, I know you're from there, and I only lived there 3.5 years, so we have a different perspective, but come on. This is from Rick, who writes, I wonder if there could possibly be any relation whatsoever between the governor's actions in regard to a certain financial institution who took tens of billions of taxpayer money and put it in their pockets and the timing of his arrest. Nah, couldn't possibly be. And then he quotes a story on Raw Story and Chicago Tribune, I think. And this from Kyle. All right, Mike, your post, your blog was spot on today, and it did not take long for the right-wingers to jump on Obama for this. A co-worker, who's a right-winger, who loves to try to provoke me, went on and on, accusing Obama of being aware of all this and saying, that's what we're going to have for 4 years. They're all effing crooks, all the Democrats. It was laughable at first, and I swear I saw actual venom running down her chin. The blogs are running wild with this, but a comment I saw on Raw Story was food for thought. Blank with Wall Street. Watch what happens. It was obviously a reference to Spitzer, and I applauded Blagojevich for Bank of America move, but this... Nah, no way. I hope that Rahm Emanuel speaks about this publicly in order to deflect the connection. Word has it, Rahm was the one who reported this to the FBI, Kyle. Yeah, that's the story I'm getting to. It was Rahm Emanuel who, call it a preemptive strike. Call it whatever you want. It's the Bush foreign policy that Sarah Palin couldn't identify, but Rahm Emanuel knows what it is real well. Strike quickly, strike deeply, strike just bang in order to protect your guy. And I'm talking about protection for Barack Obama by implication. Look what they tried to do to him about Bill Ayers. Look what they tried to do to him about Revsco, whatever the hell his name was. Ratso. Who is the real estate guy? Revsco? Was that his name, Revsco? All right. I will get it together, and you will get it together, and we'll come back after this. Oh, wait, we don't go yet, do we? No, we still have a minute. We still have a whole minute. Well, the sit-down, the five-day sit-down strike at Republic Windows and Doors is... Can you imagine how they must feel? Blagojevich shows up out there, becomes their champion. You could almost hear his armor clanking and see his white stallion pawing at the earth as he raised his lance and said... that he was going to pull all of the state business from Bank of America because of their refusal to let the money flow to Republic Windows and Doors. And now the sit-in is continuing. There may be a resolution. I am getting reports that after being embarrassed, the way they were embarrassed, that... Bank America is now talking about going ahead and releasing funds to Republic Windows and Doors so they can continue to pay their people. But now that Blagojevich has been publicly humiliated by his own actions, Fitzgerald, I think, did a damn good job. I just wish Fitzgerald could have closed the deal on Dick Cheney. Wouldn't that have been fun? But I think even Fitzgerald got a little bit weak in the knees about that one. All right, we'll be back. The sit-in at Republic Windows and Doors continues. We'll be curious to see what happens now, huh? Welcome back, you little truth seeker, you. All right, I'm going to give our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief the final word on this. Mary Ann, who wrote in on this Blagojevich thing. As the case progresses, as it gets weirder and weirder, which it will, we certainly will bring you updates. And if you want to hear the play-by-play and the so on and so forth, just tune in to any right-wing, mouth-breathing, spittle-flinging talk show host, coast-to-coast, border-to-border, for the next, certainly until Barack Obama's inaugurated, and you can hear all you want to hear about this story, right? But this is what Marianne writes. The best scenario out of this mess is that a governor, now lieutenant governor, Governor Pat Quinn, gets to pick the next senator from Illinois. Pat Quinn is a rare Illinois liberal Democrat who persisted against the odds and made it, incredibly, to lieutenant governor. He is a true blue and all-around decent fellow. He bucked the Democratic Party in Illinois by endorsing John Laish earlier this year when everyone from Dick Durbin on down the ranks was lining up against the millionaire self-funding blue dog to replace Dennis Hastert in the Illinois 14th. Blagojevich should be impeached. Governor Quinn sworn in and let him appoint someone he considers a real candidate for public service. Then the Democratic so-called regulars can have a good 2 years to campaign for the seat in 2010. And let this be a precursor for the big house cleaning that we need to do in 2010. We towed the line in 2006 and voted Democratic no matter who. This year, 2008, we had to get Obama elected. But 2010... we need to call the Democrats to account. We've kept our powder dry long enough. Yeah. I agree, Marianne. Thank you. It's time for a good old-fashioned Soviet-style purge without the bullets in the back of the head. of the Democratic Party. We've talked about this and talked about this. There is enough of a cushion now with the Democrats in the House and the Senate and Barack Obama in the White House. So it's time to let Democrats know. I mean, if we're at all serious about purging the party and doing away with the one-party, two-faces attitude that has certainly developed. I'm not saying all Democrats are just Republican light, but enough of them are. They need to have their asses kicked completely out of the party. Go join the Republicans. Get out of here. Or if that doesn't work, okay. Then we'll have Republican light, and we've got enough time, I think, to start working on the Working Families Party, Peace and Freedom Party. I mean, there are all kinds of parties out there, that political parties that have a slight, tiny, teeny toehold. But if the Democrats can't clean up their act, then either we liberal Democrats need to just shut up and go along with the program, or resist. Pretty simple. From our economic correspondent, Prairie 2, who writes under the sub or under the heading of "No Virginia, there is no Santa Claus." Oh, no. Hey, Mike, commodity prices continued down today, led by oil. Now trading at $40 and predicted to go to $25 a barrel. Some analysts are now saying $1 a gallon gas is possible. Sounds good if you have a dollar. This continues to feed fears of deflation, dragging the world economy into the greatest depression. Japan's revised gross domestic product figures declined five times what their preliminary numbers showed, but still a modest loss by U.S. standards. They lost only 0.5%. But Japan was supposedly unaffected by the global recession, since they are doing much more business with China. Of course, we do a lot of business with China, and look where that got us. Obama's new Treasury Secretary also speaks pretty good Japanese, as well as fluent Chinese. Layoff announcements are in the news every day, but they only make the news if they are really big or from a company you wouldn't expect to ever lay off people, like NASCAR or the NFL. There's a certain amount of symmetry in that. NASCAR dads always voted against their own interests, and now it's biting them. Most job cuts don't make the news, and you never hear about the hours cut or the people who have two or three part-time jobs who get the axe. No, Virginia, there is no Santa Claus. Mall Santas are getting the axe all across the country. Perhaps it's merciful. Veteran Santas are saying children's pleas of, "Can you find a job for my daddy?" are heartbreaking. Between the shift to corn for ethanol and the extensive flooding last summer, the price of hay has doubled. That song about all of Santa's reindeer will have to be much shorter. As in, "On Donner!" And that's all. Pray too. Yeah, I saw something on the television news tonight about a Santa who, you know, store Santa, mall Santa, who lives in somewhere in New Jersey and takes 2.5 hour train ride into the city to do his Santa thing, and how tough it is that the malls in northern New Jersey, where he's from, I think it's northern New Jersey, are just not, they're just not hiring Santas. Oh, God. But can you imagine being a mall Santa and having a little kid sit on your lap and say, "Can you bring my daddy a job?" Jesus, God. I guess there's no way to really protect children, is there? They, you know, I've certainly learned that from being a parent. I'm sure you have. Whether you're a parent or an aunt or an uncle, you know. When you're around those little kids, what to my generation, they used to say, "Little pitchers have big ears," or something like that, which meant you couldn't say anything in front of the kids because they absorbed it all. And, of course, they absorb it out of context. But how scary it is for a child, you know, to hear that. When I was a kid growing up, it was never a problem because my old man spent more time unemployed than he spent employed. So it was just like, "Oh, mom's going to work again." Yeah, well, okay.
I'm not sure where to go right now. I'm sick of talking about the Blackwater guards who are now, these five security guards are charged with shooting 34 unarmed civilians, killing 14, wounding 20 others. What else is there? Karl Rove is launching what is laughingly referred to as the Bush Legacy Project. Rove now has to clean up the stains that Bush has left all over the Oval Office, the White House, the presidency, America. He really has. He's leaked his stench all over everything. So, and he's an absolute abject failure. So now the Bush Legacy Project begins. And what they're, we've been talking about this. Bush would not have ordered the invasion of Iraq if the intelligence had shown that Saddam Hussein did not possess weapons of mass destruction. That's the foundation on which this filthy little piglet Karl Rove is starting to build the Bush legacy.
Yeah, well, you know, if they wouldn't have lied to us, Jesus Christ, all those CIA punks telling us all that crap.
Rove is setting the record straight, you see. Oh, my God. These people are never going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop Karl Rove is going to be brain cancer, the same thing that stopped Lee Atwater, who Karl Rove idolized and thought was the greatest thing ever to come down the political path. So, you know, just be aware that... have I still got that old voodoo doll, Kathy? Have I still got that one I used to stick pins in? All right, I'll tell you what, let's do some phone calls when you come back for a while. All right, you want to do that? 800-989-1480 is the number. So, oh, Christmas music. Oh, good.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Twenty-one past the hour, in about 10 minutes we're going to be joined by Bob Alexander, the guy who owns superbeans.com, one of our early and favorite advertisers, and if you remember, Bob put together a deal to attempt to get a copy of... Vince Bugliosi's book about indicting George Bush for murder into the hands of every prosecutor in the United States, and he's very close to it. So he's going to call in. I asked him to call in. He's got an update. All right, phone calls. Let's start with Marge in Indiana. My God, I usually wind up the night with you. I don't start with you. Hi, Marge.
Yeah, well, I woke up early this morning.
Oh, somebody knocking on your door threatening to arrest you, right?
No. No. I am still trying to figure that out. You know, how the FBI pulled it off so smooth. They did it before dawn.
Yeah.
And the media didn't find out about it until after 8 o'clock. I wonder who told them or how they found out.
I just wonder why. I'm not defending Blagojevich.
Me neither.
I've just spent the last hour ripping him a new body orifice. But why would the FBI feel compelled to call his house at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, "We're outside, come on, Rod"? Why not just wait till he went to work?
Well, his first activity in the day usually is to go out and take a run around the block to keep fit and slim and all that good stuff.
Well, okay. Why not wait until after he had his run around the block?
Because, you know, he's governor, but he doesn't seem to spend a hell of a lot of time in Springfield. He spends all his time in Chicago.
Yeah, well, that's where the money is.
Oh, boy.
Well, I just, you know, you got to nab these people, Democrat or Republican, wherever you got to nab them. But it just seems a little bit weird to me.
There is no shortage on stupid, is there?
Well, no. Blagojevich should get whatever's coming to him. But it just seems a little bit unnecessary to me to have the feds pounding on your door in the morning. You got two little girls there, and taking daddy off in handcuffs. I mean, you know, the guy is not an international terrorist, or is he? I don't even know anymore. Oh, well, never mind.
And they did all, well, you know, when they first started talking about it, I was a little bit nervous this morning because this is a Republican prosecutor. Appointed by a senator of the same name, or nearly the same name.
Yeah, I remember Fitzgerald, yeah.
And it was all done by virtue of wiretap.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my God. You know, is this the October surprise 2 months late?
Well, this is the same process.
The whole thing from Obama making the transition so step-by-step, so smoothly,
right.
And we can't let this happen. You know, we got to throw a monkey wrench in there someplace.
Yeah, I know, but this is the same prosecutor who got Irving Lewis Libby. Don't forget that. Almost got, I wish he would have kept going and gotten Cheney, but he didn't.
Yeah,
so.
Or at least Karl Rove or somebody. I mean, he was supposed to be prosecuting on a basis to get whoever went outed Valerie Plame, or Plume, or whatever her name was.
Yeah. Well, I
never quite made it. Well, it took him a while. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, the whole thing this morning had me sort of scratching my head and saying, oh, my God, you know, where are we going here?
Well, I don't have any problem with the Republican prosecutor if they are there to uphold the law. I really don't. And I realize that may be a crazy talk on my part, and I'm sure half my audience just turned off their radios or whatever.
You mean you're shooting for high standards and that sort of thing?
Well, that sort of thing, yeah.
As far as public servants are concerned, serving the public. Wouldn't that be different?
Wouldn't it? But here's the thing that intrigues me about this case. They've been after Blagojevich for months now.
Oh, years.
And I think they were after him from before. As a matter of fact, I know they were after him from before Obama got the nomination.
Oh,
so,
yeah, when you were talking about Resco before. He was the one that sold him a slip of...
Right. Property, next door to their house.
Property, right next to his house, yeah.
Right.
And then when they nailed his butt... It sort of settled down and got quiet for a while. Now he was wanting to have his sentence moved up so he could go to jail right away, and I don't quite understand that. But anyway.
You're just trying to cooperate, Marge, that's all.
Cooperation.
I have
all right,
no
we got to cooperate with the law. But, I mean, the whole day long, they even put out two special editions, one for the Sun-Times and one for the Chicago Tribune.
Uh-huh.
This afternoon, which was kind of unusual.
Right.
But the town is absolutely going nuts.
I'll bet.
It's
like the bad old days. Everybody expected, everybody knew Ryan was a thug, even though he did a good thing in commuting all the death sentences. But
the last eight Republican governors, four of them went to jail.
Yeah. So now
not Republican, a last Illinois governors. Let me correct my statement there.
Yeah, because now we have this guy who got elected as a reformer, remember? against what Ryan did, and here we go again. I mean, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's something in the water. Is it being too close to Lake Michigan?
I don't know. I just hope that he doesn't open the door for Oberweis, because he owns a dairy, and he's been trying to get elected to something for the last 6 years. And good God, I think
Well, that sounds like another story.
But I got to leave it there.
Thanks, Marge. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break.
I've been drinking gin like never before. I feel so good that I want you to know. I tell me one more drink, I wish you would. It takes a whole lot of loving to make me feel good. So I'm waiting where anybody can be. It's all right for you. I hope you're ready for me.
It's about 25 before the hour. Yeah, I could have gone all day without hearing that story, the whole Blagojevich thing. Anyway, moving along, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know about Bob Alexander, who is, I have put him on the roster here along with Bridget from Fairy Woodland as our ethical advisors. And a couple of months ago, Bob also owns superbeans.com. A couple of months ago, he decided to change his website to for his customers and said, you know, instead of buying some coffee this month, send me the money, but I'll use it to buy books. And he cut a deal with the publisher of Bugliosi's book about the prosecution of George Bush for murder. And started that process going. He and his family took a hit that month financially in order to do this, because Bob doesn't make any money selling books. He makes money selling coffee. And so he joins us now from Seattle, which is where he lives. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. How you doing?
Good evening.
Hey, good to hear from you. How's the wife and the son? And
we are cool.
Yeah.
Still can't play with the flying monkey around the little guy, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That was a scary thing. Bob and his wife and I and his son went to a Vietnamese restaurant in Seattle last time I was out there. And you all had bought me a flying monkey.
Everybody needs one.
And it's got elastic arms, and you pull it back and then let it go, and it flies across the room and screams. And it's hideous. It scared the hell out of Molly when I brought it home too, Bob. And it scared Bob's son. You know, he just almost knocked over his rice bowl. But that's not why we're talking about reminiscing about old times. We're talking about the deal you got with the publisher of Bugliosi's book.
Well, originally, in bulk, he said 60% off. And then with the freight to Seattle and the mailer and the label and the cover letter and the toner and the postage to every DA, that brought us to $40,500.
$40,000 is what you needed to raise when this began.
And the because of you talking about it once a night for a week, money started pouring in to prosecutegeorgebush.com. And we got to 10,000, then we got to 11,000. And so I started calling the publisher, saying, can we get a better deal? And he called me back today.
Mm-hmm.
He lowered the price so much, we now have enough money to buy all the books we need and have them shipped to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being $29,000 short, we're like $2,900 short.
$2,900, less than $3,000.
Yeah, this is great. So it means that we are so close to sending out a copy to every single DA. So that, and then we go to phase two, which is we post all the DAs on prosecutegeorgebush.com, tell everybody that's donated, okay, it's been 2 weeks now. Now you start calling them to see if they've read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we keep doing that till one guy steps up to the plate.
Has anybody in Seattle media or any media picked up on what you're doing?
I have written every single person I can think of, and the net result has been David Swanson from After DowningStreet.org
right.
answered me back, and a fellow named Jonathan Schwartz, who's got a great blog, The Tiny Revolution, wrote back.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
What about Keith Olbermann's program?
It's almost impossible to email him.
Yeah.
But I've emailed the organization so that they could not respond. I figured, see, we started on September 17th, and that's the day the economy started doing its deal.
Right, right.
And then McCain suspended his election to race, or his campaign to race off to Washington, D.C. to do nothing.
Right,
and
right.
then there were debates, and then there was the election. So I kind of thought that anyone who I emailed was probably getting about 2 pounds of email a day anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But now that the election's over, it's time to pick it up again.
What about your good buddy down in Hollywood, Roger Corman?
You don't. Let's just say that the major media moguls haven't responded to my email.
They nobody's Bob who? It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, this is a brilliant idea to begin with. So many people have participated. You know, you taking your time and your wife and Jude from Women's Standing in Seattle doing all this work. And even the Post Intelligencer hasn't done anything. Not even a columnist has said, guess what this guy in Seattle is trying to do?
Well, my little guy's computer is right next to mine.
Right.
And he was playing some game that was a little noisy. And I was like, well, you pipe down over there? Geez, I'm trying to indict the president for murder here. Gee, you know. And that's been pretty much the response. I thought that regardless of what anybody thought about anything, this was newsworthy.
Right.
You know, because it's not every day that a couple of people try to indict the president for murder.
No, it isn't, and it's not every day. You remember what happened to Bugliosi when the book first came out. He was just absolutely frozen out.
Complete media blackout.
Totally. I don't think New York Times book review section has yet reviewed the book, have they?
The only mention in the New York Times has been in their business section to talk about how well the book has been doing in the face of the blackout.
Oh, my God.
That's their only sideways acknowledgement that the book exists.
Now, how many prosecutors are going to get a copy, a number?
There are 2,700.
2,700, that's right.
District attorneys. There are 2,700 counties. Not every county has had a soldier killed in Iraq.
Right.
So our first kickoff is to 2,200.
2,200.
And then we're going to keep going because as long as the war is going on, we might as well.
I'm sure you are incredibly web savvy, and I am not, so I may already have my answer. How did you track down 2,200 district attorneys?
By spending $50.
$50, that's it?
That'll get you the directory from the National District Attorneys Association.
Oh, well, of course.
And then you call to find out who's running for re-election, who wasn't, because they're not on the same cycle as everybody else.
Right.
And then we got our finalized list, and then it's a matter of looking through all the counties to see who the bluest counties were,
mm-hmm.
and then you rank by population. And basically, you play in Excel for a long time. It's not a spreadsheet skill. It's more of a tedious deal.
Yeah. I was going to say, who's going to do the mailer and the label and the cover letter and the postage and yada, yada, yada?
Vince has written a great cover letter.
Vince has?
And we've got, you know, mail merge is a wonderful thing.
Right.
And it's just, you know, you get five reams of paper and you start pressing print and you do the labels, and the mailers, padded mailers come out of Office Depot. And then it's a matter of we're having a stuffing party, hopefully in about a week or so. Rent a big old truck and go down and scare somebody at the post office.
So as Curly said, easy as radar. So you're going to have a stuffing party.
Yeah. Every
Don't you know anybody in I don't mean to sound like that, but do you know somebody in Seattle media that I mean one of the consumer reporters or somebody who writes a column or a blog for the PI, anybody that would pick up on this story? Because to me it's just an amazing story what the three of you have done. Well, four of you. Vince wrote the book, but I mean, what the four of you have done so far and are trying to do, it's just I don't quite get this, Bob. I understand. I know where I live. I live in the United States of America, 2008, George Bush, yada yada. But I don't get this.
Well, when you email everybody and you don't get any response, you kind of go, "Oh, I get it now." But I'm going to videotape the stuffing party and the caravan down to the post office. To see if anybody wants to pick up on the tape when I'm done.
Well, put it on YouTube.
Yes, indeed.
Put a link at... Now, the website is still good, right? ProsecuteGeorgeBush.com. As a matter of fact, that's how people get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
To throw another $5 your way so that you guys can get this out. You need $2,900 to complete this, not $29,000. I, what can I say? It's Christmas time. Everybody's hurting, but I hope people will. Do you still have the PayPal thing, or how do they do it?
We do everything but PayPal. We have a little shopping cart in there. You just go in, plug in your deal. A page comes up. You pop in your credit card number. It's all secure. And then I get the email and I go, thank you.
Hold on a second, because Kathy, go ahead and break here. We got to do a break here. We'll come back and wrap this up. All right. Just stay right there, Bob. We're talking with Bob Alexander. Go to ProsecuteGeorgeBush.com and take a look around. You know what we're talking about, so stay with us. We're going to talk with Bob a little bit more when we come back. This is Nova M. No, it's not time for a moment with Bob. That's his theme music, but he is on the air with us here, Bob Alexander from Superbeans.com, and also from ProsecuteGeorgeBush.com, and we're talking about his efforts, his and Jude and his wife and Vince Bugliosi, who wrote the book to prosecute George W. Bush for murder, since it's very clear and apparent he's not going to be impeached. So. What are you looking for from listeners? I know the quick answer is bucks, but, these are the times that try men's and women's souls. Where's anybody going to get the money here?
I figure
how much do they need to get to send you?
I figure that if everyone tells everybody they know, mm-hmm. and then everybody else tells everybody else they know, not only will Kevin Bacon eventually find out about this, but somebody will come up, you know, with the last remaining cash. And then we go into phase two, which is to become a 501c3 corporation, so all donations will be tax deductible, and that's to raise the big bucks. Mm-hmm. So that if any DA has any qualms about proceeding because of all the costs that will accrue to his county, we'll have, instead of a defense fund, a prosecution fund.
Right.
And... I think that we've got, if you want to win in roulette, but you don't care about winning your money, you just cover every single number on the roulette table. And you'll win, and that's all we're looking for, a 0.0384% return on what we're doing. Just one DA, that's all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, just one. That's all it takes. Have you gotten any feedback from the people who have gotten... the copies of the books so far?
We haven't sent out one book yet.
I see. You're waiting for a mass mailing?
That's right. That's why we need the truck.
I see. Okay, my bad.
And that's why we're really going to terrify somebody down at the post office.
Right. I'm sure you will. Then you'll be arrested, and it'll be, you know, the Bob Alexander Defense Fund.
But it'll all be on videotape.
That's true. That's something. All right. The website here, True Seekers, is ProsecuteGeorgeBush.com. That's where you go to get even more information about what Bob Alexander's talking about. And his website, of course, is Superbeans.com. And I mentioned that's a shameless plug, but I don't give a damn. So if you are looking for some coffee to drink while you're writing a $5 or $10 or $15 check or whatever, not a check, but you know, just get some coffee and sit back and drink the coffee, and then send a few bucks. And it doesn't take much here. He's looking for $2,900. If I have 500 readers that or readers, 500 listeners who, how much is
that? We're over the top then.
If I had 1,000 listeners who would send $3 apiece, or 500 listeners who would send $6, you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you all keep that in mind as you and go check out the website. There's prosecutegeorgebush.com. There's lots of info there.
It's one of those ambiguous URLs.
It is, isn't it? People don't realize what they're going to see when they go to the website and open it up, right?
You got to read between the lines.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this if there's anything this audience can do, it's that.
Good.
So, all right. Well, Bob, good to talk to you, and stay in touch. Maybe in a week, let me know if any results came in as a result of our conversation tonight.
I just looked at the email, and things are happening right now.
Okay, good. Okay. Really, this is one of those deals where really it doesn't take much. I mean, really, it doesn't take a lot, folks. If I've got 1,000 listeners who kick in $3, but then again, that's wishful thinking on my part. Not the $3, the 1,000 listeners. You know, I mean, this is a pretty exclusive group. Bob, thanks a lot, all right?
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk again. We'll talk in about a week. Thanks, Bob. Bob Alexander, go to his website, superbeans.com, or if you want to get involved in this, I know a lot of people did. And for the people who did get involved to begin with and have been kind of curious, like, what happened? Well, there you go. But to have a drop down from still needing $30,000 and thinking to yourself, oh, Jesus, what have I got myself into? To, well, all I need is $2,900 and the books go out. That's good news this Christmas season. What a nice present for all these prosecutors to wake up and a week or so before Christmas and find a nice Vince Bugliosi book, How to Prosecute George W. Bush for Murder. It sure makes my heart go pity-pat, huh? How about yours? All right, we're coming up on a break here. Do we have people on hold still? Let's go back to the phones and talk with David, who is calling from Idaho, listening. Well, of course, on the internet, if you live in Idaho. Hi, David.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
I see this as a great the governor.
Blagojevich thing, the Governor Rod thing.
Yeah, I see it as a fantastic opportunity to roll out instant runoff voting, and it seems that. New York is in the same situation, and now Illinois is a huge profile, where you get five candidates,
yeah,
and then voters get to list their preference, you know, 1 through 5, and the best candidate usually wins.
Yeah,
and it just seems that now is the time to educate the public on doing this.
It is, and I hope that people will check out instant runoff voting, David, because all they have to do is Google that, instant runoff voting. It might be too sophisticated for the American voter, although it's not the least bit sophisticated, but you understand what I'm saying. David, thanks. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back for the final hour of the program tonight. Stick around. There's some open lines, so if you want to get anything said tonight, do it. 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. I've got to drop this into the mix. One of those stories from our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy. And it comes from, of all places, USA Today, which is not usually the print organ that breaks big, important stories. But according to USA Today, military leaders in this country knew the dangers posed by IEDs, roadside bombs, before we invaded and did George Bush's oil war. But military leaders, according to USA Today, did little to develop vehicles that were known to better protect forces from what has proved to be this horrible occupation's deadliest weapon. This is astonishing. The Pentagon, according to the 72-page report, it says the Pentagon, quote, was aware of the threat posed by mines and IEDs and of the availability of mine-resistant vehicles years before action began in Iraq in 2003. Apparently, the Marine Corps leaders stopped processing, quotes around those two words, stopped processing an urgent request in February 2005 for mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, MRAPs. The request came from combat commanders in Iraq's Anbar province after declaring that a more heavily armored version of existing Humvee vehicles was the best available option for protecting troops. The Marine Corps said to the people in the field fighting this bloody occupation, this illegal war, nah, use what you got, boys. This is astonishing. Two U.S. senators now, Joe Biden of Delaware, now obviously the vice president-elect, and Kit Bond of Missouri, Republican, one a Democrat, one a Republican, are demanding an investigation after details of this study were published. Now, apparently the study came out, or it was finished in January of this year, but it's been kept under wraps, obviously. Sharon writes, this is unconscionable. Who are the so-called military leaders who knew about the IEDs? Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Tommy Franks, Dick Myers? Are they talking about people with 3 or 4 stars on their shoulders? I want their names. It reminds me, Sharon writes, of something General Tony Zinni, the Marine Corps retired general, Tommy Franks' predecessor, said a few years ago, quote, in the lead-up to the Iraq War and its later conduct, I saw, at a minimum, true dereliction, negligence, and irresponsibility. At worst, lying, incompetence, and corruption, end quote. Sharon writes, it's still hard for me to believe that officials at the highest levels of our government and military could be so careless with the lives of those who serve beneath them. It makes me sick, Sharon. So they knew. See, I talk about this a lot, don't I, huh? Is there one thing that these incompetent sons of bitches did that did not result in pain, whether it was pain after Katrina, pain from soldiers coming home to their families with half their goddamn brains blown away because these thugs did not provide the proper armament? No, of course not. We shouldn't have been there to begin with. But once the troops are committed, shouldn't there be something done to, A, start the movement back home to get them out? But while they're there, do something to protect 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds from coming back to spend the rest of their lives asking someone to push them around in a wheelchair. And nobody is going to pay for this. I mean, pay in the sense of a court-martial or a prison term or something. Is there anybody in the Bush crime family, whether it was military or civilian, who did anything right? The generals who warned against this, the generals who, after warning against it, realized the civilian leadership was going through with it anyway and said, okay, then give me 500,000 troops. All those people were told to get the hell out of Dodge, take early retirement. This is our game. You're playing in our sandbox now. I'm Dick Cheney. I'm Paul Wolfowitz. I'm Donald Rumsfeld. This is the poison that is going to keep drip, drip, dripping into us. At least as long as the Vietnam conflict. It will. You watch. Unless it's just hidden, pushed under the rug. Media in this country, there's no war going on. When was the last time, other than hearing occasionally in the newspaper or reading in the newspaper about another bomb that went off someplace and 18 people killed, when was the last time you got a report on the evening news on television or even the 24/7 cable outlets? When was the last time you heard anything about what's going on in Iraq that wasn't utter BS? Huh? When was the last time? What have you heard about Afghanistan? I'll tell you what you've heard about Afghanistan. Afghanistan is lost. It is gone in terms of our possessing it. It's gone. It's over. It's done. We should get out of there as quickly as possible. What is Barack Obama talking about? A surge? What does Petraeus want? What do we got there? 30,000 troops? What do they want? 100,000? 200,000? You can send a goddamn million American troops there, and it ain't gonna work. And I know that, and you know that. So why don't the civilian and military planners that are involved in this insanity, why don't they know that? I don't expect the Bush crime family to do a damn thing. But surely to God, Barack Obama and his advisors will get out. But this IED thing, one more example of the sociopathology of Bush, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, every one of these miserable bastards that have sent American after American after American to their deaths in Iraq, or just grievous wounds, and are responsible for the deaths of Iraqi family after Iraqi family. Who's going to hold any of these people accountable? Come on, Malloy. Who's going to hold any of these people accountable? All right, Sharon, thanks, I guess. There is nothing good to talk about where it concerns an occupying army and the hell that can be visited upon those soldiers. It was not some lieutenant or major or colonel or sergeant or private who decided now is a good time to invade Iraq 5 years ago. The men and women who carry the weapons, who take the risk, they had no say in this. They just happened to be in the military. Oh, I know. Some people joined after the conflict began. I understand the invasion, occupation. I understand. I understand. But if a country is going to do what we did, commit troops in a war of opportunity, of any kind of conflict, wouldn't you think that the miserable sons of bitches who put it together would at least try to protect our people?
Nowhere, but he ain't what he seems. You'll see him in your head on the TV screen. Hey, buddy, I'm warning you to turn it on. Oh, he's a ghost, he's a god, he's a man, he's a guru. You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by...
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Mary is calling from Illinois, listening on the Internet. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mike. What can somebody say about a governor gone astray? I'm serious. This is just, it's, and you know, you were earlier, you were saying, you know, am I overreacting? You know,
mm-hmm.
No, you're not. I mean, because it's so disheartening when it's somebody of your own party. But he's such a slime bag.
Is he really?
And yes, he is. He is not beloved here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not. And
well, you know, it doesn't take very long watching him on camera. Like I have just the past 2 days. That's all. When he went out there with the workers at the at the door company, and then today, you watch that body language. You watch what he's doing, and I came away with the impression this guy was just an absolute little rat bastard.
He is. And what really, I mean, when I heard about it today, I was at work, and I'm like, oh, really? Not surprised. I mean, this is not new to us in Illinois, governors getting arrested.
Yeah, no, it's not, is it?
But I'm like, okay. But when I heard about him trying to sell the Senate seat, I'm like, what? I mean, come on.
I mean, how low can you go, right?
Seriously. And then what? We're going to have, they're talking about having an election. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that Republicans can, you know, join in? Yeah. Can Illinois afford that? No. So, I mean, you know,
the damage Democrats do when they do this kind of sleaze is incalculable.
Yeah.
When Republicans do this, it just, you know, it destroys their career and causes everybody to cluck their tongues and say, yeah, well, typical Republican. But when a Democrat does it, the whole damn house of cards starts to collapse. I'm just hoping that your Senate, I believe it's, you know, I guess the House, will impeach him.
Uh-huh.
And it's my understanding there doesn't have to be a proof of guilt. All there has to be is a vote.
Right.
Impeach him. Get rid of him. Let the lieutenant governor step up.
Yes.
Election is some election. You know, forget that.
Right.
There doesn't have to be an election. There has to be getting Blagojevich out of the way. Unless they impeach him, he's there. I mean, you know, he's been indicted or accused. That's it.
And I hope they do that too, Mike. I hope they do that too.
Well, somebody told me tonight that the chances of a, I think it was our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, that the chances of a straight up vote to impeach him is pretty good. That he's not liked, as you said, he's not liked even by other Democrats.
No, he's not.
So that to me seems the thing to do. Get rid of him. Let the lieutenant governor step up. Make the Barack Obama appointment, whoever's going to substitute for him. And, you know, 2 years from now, talk about election. Well, whenever. Yeah, 2 years from now. Yeah.
God forbid I didn't vote for him. I voted, and I should know the name of the Green Party candidate, but I don't remember. Isn't that awful?
No, it's
but
not.
But I did
awful.
Not. I did not vote for him for Rod. I can't say his last name either.
Blagojevich. It's not that hard. Blagojevich.
I know. I'm nervous.
Right. All right. Well, Mary, thanks. I appreciate you checking in.
Thanks.
And we'll see what happens. I understand what you mean, though, about upset but not surprised.
No,
oh,
not.
My God. All right. Take care, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Yeah, that's all that has to be done. You know, the Republicans led by, this sleaze bag drug addict Limbaugh are going to be screaming all over the place about, hold an election! No, I don't think so. Shut up and sit down, you lard ass. Just, you know, go get your flatliners to eat pills or something. But all it takes is, I think it's the, is it the Senate? I don't even know what the rules are in Illinois. But I understand just a vote to impeach him and get his ass out. Besides, Rod is going to need all of his assets and resources and time and energy to defend himself. You know, we live in the great country of the United States of America where you're innocent until proven guilty. you know, unless you happen to come across my desk accused of this with the audio tapes to support it. And you happen to be the governor of Illinois. I mean, come on. History repeats itself. First as farce and then as tragedy and then as farce again and then tragedy and now farce again. It just keeps going in Illinois. What did that one FBI agent say today at the press conference? I'm not saying that Illinois is the has the sleaziest political system, I'm paraphrasing, in of the 50 states, but it sure as hell is in the top five or whatever he said. I just thought, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, yo, that was pretty strong. But that's the truth. That's the truth. When I first moved to Chicago, I couldn't believe what constituted, you know, sleaze and fraud and graft just in the Chicago City Council. Here in Atlanta, I can remember when we moved to Chicago in 97, there was a big scandal here about council members taking free Braves tickets. I get up to Chicago and holy Christ, I mean, gambling and prostitution and vote buying and yeah. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Justice in the hall. We're all criminals waiting to be called. They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over. It will serve time at night when the lights begin to dim, when the smoke seems to clear. You can't say what you want. We're all criminals.
And now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 26 before the hour. I had a... hold on a second here. Where is... I wanted to share this with you. A.E. writes in regarding... some of the stuff we've been talking about tonight. He says, Mike, I admire your optimistic expectation of justice in the court of law. That only happens in a nation where laws are enforced. Bob Alexander's documentation of his efforts will become part of the historical record, as will Vince Bugliosi's book itself. The official history may be written by the victors, but Howard Zinn has shown us the strength of a people's history. We should remember Santayana's dictum that those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it, but we should also remember the corollary statement of Hegel that, quote, governments never have learned anything from history or acted on principles deduced from it, end quote. There will be no indictments nor a meaningful investigation of the current administration by the next administration. They will do nothing and hope everything will be forgotten. It's up to us to learn and remember. That's the only way we can truly say never again. Well, you people are just depressing the hell out of me tonight, frankly. But I get it. I get it. I really get it. I understand what you're saying. All right, back to your phone calls. We have two open lines. The number is 800-989-1480. Michael is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program.
Hello, hey. Uncle Mikey. ¿Cómo estás, Nanote?
Muy bien. ¿Y usted?
Just saying. Mike, your back is hurting you from hauling those rails around.
Yeah.
My back is killing me from stripping tiles off the kitchen floor. Well, when you hit 29, you start going downhill.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I have a story that your screener said was okay, even though it's a bit off the subject.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a copy of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd lost it, but I found it in a stack of newspapers. It's about 3 weeks old, and there's a major story above the fold entitled Banks Owe Billions to Executives. Now, there were a bunch of banks that owed $40 billion to departing CEOs in bonuses, parachutes, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there were three banks in particular, which are named here, I'll tell you, that didn't have the money because they were bankrupted by the CEOs.
Right.
So they finally got the money.
Yeah,
where do you think they got it from?
Let me think. They robbed a bank?
The $750 billion bailout.
Right, right.
Now, isn't anyone overseeing this?
No, don't forget who set this, the payout to these thugs, who set it up. Paulson and who's the other guy? The Fed guy. These people are the problem. This is, this is not the chickens guarding the hen house. I mean the fox guarding the hen house. This is a fox walking in with a machine gun. And you know, just unloading on all the chickens until they're all dead. I mean, this is insane.
The
fact that the Bush crime family is solely responsible. You know, I don't care how these right-wing radio geeks try to spin this. The Bush crime family, with the oversight that should have been applied, is responsible for what has happened. And then they put in charge of fixing what has happened two criminals who assisted in causing what has happened. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to go crazy.
Oh yes. I often accuse my sister of being unaware of what's going on in the world and ignorant of certain things. She says, I don't read the papers, look at television, I don't want to hear the news. It makes me extremely depressed.
Well, there you go.
And here, there's $40 billion that were given away, and three banks in particular, I'll just say it real quick. Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated, $11.8 billion to the executives. $8.5 billion at J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, and $10 to $12 billion at Morgan Stanley. I mean, when a sports team loses games, who gets fired? The players or the coach?
Yeah, the coach.
The coach gets fired.
Right.
So how are these people being rewarded for destroying their corporations?
Michael,
wouldn't it be nice, you know, in Japan, where there is some semblance of honor, which there's precious little in America, the chief executives of failing corporations quit or commit suicide.
Yeah, you know, and I like that second part. It's very honorable. I believe the term in Japanese anyway is harakiri. It's honorable. I guess it's painful. I don't know. But it's an example of respect to the people who have been, sleaze banged by these bastards. I just wish that we had such an honorable tradition here of harakiri so that these executives could, you know, instead of falling forward on a ceremonial knife or short sword, they could stick their head into a bag of 100-pound Federal Reserve notes until they suffocated. You know, whatever it takes. You know, honor is honor. Michael, thank you. I got to leave it there. Appreciate your call. Steve is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a friend who's in the military and has been on tour, and he came back, and he told me a few stories, and one of the stories was there was military operations where they would go around with big duffel bags of money and give money to Iraqi families who had lost people in the war.
Yeah, but did he tell you how much? I think it was like $1,500 per dead person. It wasn't very damn much, that's for sure.
But they're just walking around with big bags of money handing it out.
Right.
And he's got to go back to another tour in February.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that a lot of what he's doing now is protecting stuff that's coming in that we're trying to send in because people are just robbing over there everything we bring over.
Who's doing the robbings? Americans?
No, I don't know if it's the Americans that are actually doing the robbings, but what he's being briefed on is he's getting sent over there again to protect these things that we're shipping over there because everybody's.
How's your friend's mental state? How many you said he's been over there a couple of times? What's his mental state?
Oh, he comes when he's home. Mm-hmm. You know he owns a house. He's a real honorable guy. He was a best man in a wedding, and you know, real straightforward guy. You know, mm-hmm. He doesn't lie to me. You know, he never cheat me out of anything. He's a real honorable guy.
But how's his mental stability right now?
Well, I mean, he knows he joined the military, and he's going to perform a duty, and that's what he chose in life. And you know, that's what he chose. You know,
right? But is he okay? What I'm trying to get at here is, because he's your friend, you spend time around him. Do you get the sense that he's okay with the assignments that he has, the duties he has to perform? Is he okay with it? Are you starting to see stress? Are you starting to see that, you know, maybe he's,
I think he's just doing it because they pay him well. I mean, he can go over there and do a tour and get paid really well, and it's all tax-free. And he can come back with a lot of money.
So but that sounds like a civilian job.
Well, no, he's a drill sergeant, and he trains the troops.
I just wondered what your take was about his mental state, because I've talked with people and I've read reports. I mean, Sharon sent me one tonight that I haven't gotten to, and probably won't get to tomorrow night. Army pays $50 million to find out why suicides are rising. You know, in the Army. The instances of stress, severe stress, because of these repeat deployments during the invasion and occupation of Vietnam. You knew when you shipped out, you'd be gone for a year, and you'd come back either intact or missing limbs or in a box, but you knew you'd come back in a year. With the people that this filthy, disgusting Bush crime family keeps sending over and over and over again into these concocted war zones, there you can go once, twice, three times, four times, until finally you're just gibbering insane from these kinds of deployments. And there's no family time. There's no what does Sharon call it? A dwell time? I'm not sure. That's why she's the military affairs advisor, and I'm not. Dwell time between tours, there's not enough. So we've got an Army and a Marine Corps that's being driven slowly mad.
Losing hope is easy. When your only friend is gone, and every time you look around, well, it all just seems to change. But hanging on is easy. Thank you.
never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you.
Now see, that's the kind of belly rubbing music that you know, just calms everything down, right? What happened to the music? That was it. It was about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew here, Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight, answered your calls. Ben Birch, our technical advisor, and who also manages the podcasts. Sharon Gordy, who is our military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg, economic advisor. And Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, who keep us on the straight and narrow. You know, somebody emailed me and said, what do you mean ethical advisors? What the hell do they do? And I said, well, you know, having met both Bridget and her husband John up in Sacramento, and John and his wife, I'm sorry, Bob and his wife, and I'm sorry, Bob, I'm drawing a blank on your wife's name. I don't know why, but I am. But having met these people, I just came to the conclusion that I, you know, I carry images of them in my head, and that keeps me honest. Because I'm afraid Bridget will cast a spell on me. Have you been to her website? I don't mention her website. Fairywoodland.com. Fairywoodland.com. I figure, you know, Bridget would cast a spell on me of some sort. Of course, she only does good spells. But and Bob, I don't know what the hell Bob would do. So I just, you know, they are the ethical advisors to this program. And that's just the way that goes, okay? I know you weren't the least bit interested in that, but I had a couple of people ask me why they are your ethical advisors. Phil is calling from Scranton, PA, listening on the Internet. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
Not too bad. You know, all this talk about bailout,
mm-hmm.
I literally sat down one day and said, you know what? Paulson asked for all this money with a 4-page proposal.
Right.
And the auto workers are getting jerked around for, you know, for, I mean, it's not, it's a lot of money, but it's not $700 billion.
No, it's not. And I read today in the New York Times that Ford Motor Company doesn't even want any. It's General Motors is the one that's really in trouble. Now, as far as Chrysler, you know, my attitude about Chrysler is they can go screw themselves. That's a private equity company. That was taken over by Cerberus, I believe. Yeah, Cerberus is the company. I think Dan Quayle's involved in that. I'm not sure on that. But it's a private equity company. Their whole intent in taking over Chrysler was to dismember it, sell off the parts. That's what these predatory bastards do. They're real vampires. So as far as Chrysler, and then they hire Bob Nardelli, the guy that caused almost caused Home Depot to go bankrupt. They put that thug in. As far as Chrysler, I'm sorry. I hate to say it because there are a lot of UAW workers. But hopefully, when Chrysler goes belly up, it'll loosen up the market and those workers could go to work for Ford or General Motors. But as far as Chrysler, they just turned my stomach. General Motors, I believe should be saved. I think the top level management, should be fired immediately. And if we do put $25 billion into these companies and don't assume some managerial responsibilities, by us, I mean, what do they call it now? Phil, the car czar? Have you seen that term? Somebody to oversee our money.
Ridiculous. It's a micromanage position, I think.
Well, in the first place, if we're going to nationalize these industries like we are doing, then why not call it what it is? And not somebody to oversee, but somebody to actually make sure that the workers and the American public don't get screwed and that the engineering is done in a way that guarantees better vehicles, less polluting, yada, yada, yada. It just goes on and on. But I hope Ford and General Motors get saved. Chrysler can kiss my grits.
I've been crying in my beer, but I think you need to play a polka tomorrow if you got a chance. Because we all need it. I swear. I told Ian.
You need a polka?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We really do.
Have you got one handy, Kathy? I don't know if we have one. We have in handy, but usually we let them play for longer than we only,
yeah,
we'll
have
about
a
minute
tomorrow
left.
If you can.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it. What do you want to hear? You want to hear Who Stole the Kishka? That's not really a polka, you know.
Oh, I know.
That's
I know,
more of a
That's how we treat it, though.
That's klezmer music, but it's all right. It can pass for a polka.
Let's do a little dance.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it tomorrow night, Phil. I promise.
Okay, great.
All right, man. Thanks for checking.
All right, have a good night.
All right, you too. Yeah, we could close with it tonight, but I don't want to, Kathy. Because when you do klezmer music that we, you know, convert into polka music on this program, you got to have a minute or two. Because you got to get up and dance, and, you know, and it's too late now to get up and dance. Jesus. Well, I wonder what the scandal du jour is going to be when we start the program tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying? Is it going to be the bailouts? Is it going to be workers being frozen out of their jobs because the banks that are taking all our money say, screw you, we're not going to loosen it up? Is it going to be another governor? Is it going to be some slime ball in right-wing talk radio who... who knows? I can't wait for the holiday season to begin here. We're going to take like a week off, and I swear to God, I'm just going to get a king-size bottle of Jack Black and some other stuff and just kick back and do nothing. Yeah, but, you know, once you do that, then you got all next year to look forward to work. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.